You're listening to Fanny Crawford on the Storytelling Hour at www.enlightenradio.org in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Today is Monday. I think it's April 3rd, and it's 12 noon, so you know you're going to be hearing stories. We're following up on a show we did last week with Adam Booth as co-host, and Adam talked at length about his creative process and shared what he called a raw new story, a new version of the traditional tale of Rapunzel. Remember the lady with the long blonde hair and locked in the tower who lets down her hair for the wicked witch who's keeping her captive and eventually lets her hair down for the handsome prince? Well, Adam told his version of that story, or the beginning of that story, and talked about what he had in mind for the ending and various plans to enhance and expand that story. It was a lot of fun talking to him through that process and hearing about how that's going for him. And even before that, I'd been working on my own version of the Rapunzel story. So I'm going to share that raw, new adaptation of the traditional tale that I'm working on with you this morning and talk a bit about the creative process. And I want to remind you of Adam's roster coming up for the Speak Story Series. Maybe I'll do that right now. Adam starts the new season, season 5, in Shepherdstown on April 18th, 7:30 p.m. They've moved to Reynolds Hall, no longer at the community building in Shepherdstown, but across the street at Reynolds Hall, 7:30 p.m. And the first teller this season will be April 18th, Antonio Rocha. Antonio was born and raised in Brazil, now lives in Maine, and he'll be presenting his amazing fusion of verbal narrative and mime that he's been taking around the world, six continents, for the past almost 30 years, I think. He does sound effects and all kinds of movement incorporated into his storytelling, and I promise you, you will really enjoy his performance. You do need to get there early. It's possible that show's going to sell out. If you want to find out more about the new membership option for the Speak series, you can go to the brand new website at www.speakstoryseries.com. I cannot tell you how many times I've had trouble getting in because of that switch in those last three letters. SpeakStoryseries.com to see the full roster. And you can see Antonio Rocha's picture there on the site, as well as contact information if you want more information about the new membership option. Tickets are generally, I think, still $12 at the door, but you can also become a member for $100 and get into every single performance for the season, as well as some special membership events where you get to interact one-on-one with the storytellers and community supporters of the venue. May 9th, Csenga Zalka from Hungary, who'll be bringing her magical folk tales to speak at 7:30 at Reynolds Hall. June 13th, Charlotte Blake Alston from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And for that session, they'll be meeting at the Storer Ballroom at the Shepherd's University Student Center on the third floor. But that's also at 7:30. And we were lucky enough to have Charlotte Blake Alston at Stories in the Round this past season. So I can personally recommend that session. Very powerful teller, telling African-American and African as well as world stories and cultural traditions. Longtime teller for the National Storytelling Festival, and has told all over the world, including the Cape Island Storytelling Festival in Ireland. July 11th, Kevin Locke, I'm not going to try to pronounce his Anishinaabe name because I'm afraid I'm not educated enough to do that, but we'll just call him Kevin Locke, and he's a world-famous hoop dancer, Lakota and Anishinaabe gentleman, and they're moving that session also to the Storer Ballroom because he needs the space. He's going to be flying those hoops all over the room. I'm really looking forward to hearing him and watching him do his performance. August 8th, Jane Dorfman, our own Jane Dorfman from nearby in Maryland, will be at Reynolds Hall at 7:30, and she's a very well-known teller of tales from the Arabian Nights. And that evening, she'll be doing some of the lesser-known tales that we don't get to hear very often. Go down the labyrinth with her into the very heart of those dark and deep tales. A little bit risque. Adam says there'll be a bit of cross-dressing and a little erotic poetry, but you're guaranteed to have a good time. And Jane's an adjunct professor at the University of Maryland and works at the Smithsonian Institution on storytelling, has been on a couple different television channels, and helps coordinate the Washington Folk Festival and storytelling sessions there. That's August 8th at 7:30 at Reynolds Hall for a summer performance for Speak. And then on September 19th, we have, big name, Bill Harley, coming from Rhode Island down to us in Shepherdstown. If you know anything about storytelling at all, you've probably heard Bill Harley's name. Very well known, has been telling stories for, I think, probably four decades, maybe possibly even more than that. And he's definitely one of the best, has two Grammy Awards and 35 award-winning recordings, CDs, lots of books. Bill's all about universal joys, universal hardships and challenges, and very funny man, all heart. So you want to be there on September 19th for Bill Harley, 7:30, Reynolds Hall. October 10th, Jan Blake from England. Adam Booth will be reprising that Skype performance that we heard last year from another performer from the British Isles. This time it's Jan Blake, who has been performing for 25 years and specializes in stories from Africa, the Caribbean, and Arabia. I have not heard her myself. I've heard a clip of her on YouTube and will definitely be there to hear Jan Blake. That's at Reynolds Hall at 7:30, October 10th. November 14th, Mark Harshman, who is the poet laureate from West Virginia, children's book author, author of a notable Smithsonian book, received the Weatherford Prize for his book Believe What You Can, a collection of poetry, and also a festival performer. So please come to hear him on November 14th at Reynolds Hall, 7:30. And then closing out the season on December 12th, Adam Booth himself, coordinator of the series and Shepherdstown's own Adam Booth, will be doing a variety of traditional mountain stories, some music, and a few contemporary Appalachian stories as well. And of course, you know that Adam has been featured at the International Storytelling Center as a resident teller. He's been at the National Storytelling Festival multiple times and the Appalachian Studies Association Conference. He's been a spoken word resident at the Banff Center in British Columbia, and his recordings have two Parents' Choice Silver Awards, as well as four Storytelling World Awards. And of course, he started out as four-time champion of the West Virginia Liars Contest. And I'm guessing he might even tell us a tall tale or two on December 12th. So he's got quite a season lined up. And last week, Adam was with us on here on the Storytelling Hour, sharing his process for creative story development, and shared a Rapunzel story, an adaptation of that traditional Rapunzel tale for us during the course of the Storytelling Hour last week, and then wove in kind of the process that he went through to get to where he is in that story, which is really only about halfway through, he thinks. And so he didn't tell us the full adaptation, the full tale, but enough to get a real flavor. And since then, well, even a little bit before that, I was working on my own version of adaptation of the Rapunzel story. So I'm going to share that with you in a couple minutes. You're listening to Fanny Crawford on the Storytelling Hour on Enlighten Radio, www.enlightenradio.com. www.enlightenradio.org. Now, see, I am really going to get confused now that the Speak Story series has a different website, a new website, and uses .com. It's all going to be downhill from here, folks. I'm going to have a sign on the wall and keep my eye focused, or I will be all over the map. Okay. We're about 15 minutes into the show this morning on Monday, April 3rd. We are talking about the creative process and that traditional tale of Rapunzel. One of the first things I did when I was getting to know this story and deciding how I wanted to tell it was to research the roots of the story. And I've learned that the Persian version of Rapunzel, sometimes known as Rudaba, for the title character, the heroine of this piece, who's part of the ancient Persian pantheon. She's the mother of Rustam, who is probably the earliest and greatest of the ancient Persian heroes. And the story is that she was locked in a tower by her father to keep her safe from this handsome man, Zal, who fell in love with her. They were from two different ethnic communities. Zal's father was a Babylonian, which of course the Persians read as completely off limits, a bad guy. And so she was refused permission to have any association with him. But once she was locked in the tower, of course, she had this beautiful long black hair, and Zal knew how to deal with that and was soon up in the tower. And they spent the night talking and resolved to wed, even on that very first night that they had any conversation with each other. Meanwhile, Zal went home to his father, Sam, and King Sam consulted with his astrologers on the likely success of the marriage and learned that Rudaba was destined to give birth to a son who would one day conquer the world, Rustam. So Sam gave his permission immediately, and between them, they managed to convince Rudaba's father to accept the marriage. And of course, then there's a hero tale and war and other challenges and various bad people who come into the picture. But all of that's fascinating to me. And simultaneous to researching that Persian link, I also started thinking about Rapunzel's hair, or Rudaba's hair, and the similarities to fibers and fabric used for art. And I decided to make that story contain some weavers and competition between weavers. But then I went off track and got caught up in stories about fishermen and fisherwomen, and that's how I ended up with this one that I'm going to tell today. So I'm going to tell it in two parts because it's too long to tell all together. So I'll tell you part one, and then we'll do a station break, and then I'll finish up with part two. So just remember, you're listening to Fanny Crawford on the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at www.enlightenradio.org. Romaine by the Seashore. Once upon a time, there was an old fisherman and an equally elderly fisherwoman who lived together in a small stone cottage with a thatched roof on the shores of the deep blue sea, almost as deep and soft blue-black as that elderly fisherwoman's eyes. Every morning, they would load their old and heavy fishing nets into their small wooden fishing boat and cast off from the beach to find that day's catch of fish. They had done this every day of their long and happy life together, at least every day, that the sky was clear as a calm azure sea, and the sea was calm as a clear azure sky. On days when the sky was filled with threatening storm clouds, dark as black bean soup, or the days when the waves crashed 10 and 12 and 14 feet high along the shore, those days they did not go out in their small wooden boat to fish, but sat on a small bench before their small stone cottage and mended their nets, or spread hot pitch on the weak spots of their small wooden fishing boat so the seawater would not enter between the wood planks. Every evening, when they returned from the sea and pulled the small fishing boat up onto the sand, weighed it down with rocks alongside the small stone cottage, after they had walked their baskets of fresh fish to the village market and sold all but one small fish for their very own dinner, after that, they would sit on the tiny second-story stone porch of the small stone cottage, a space just big enough for two chairs. In the fading light of evening, they watched the stars come out one by one in the deep, dark sky and listened to the peaceful sound of waves crashing on the rocks and sand of the seashore. Well, that old fisherman and equally elderly fisherwoman had long, long desired a child to keep them company in their old age, but this had not come to pass in their youth. And now the old fisherman and the equally elderly fisherwoman were far past the usual age for having children. They'd given up hope of that happening. Then one cool night in early spring, the fisherwoman made a wish upon the first star of the evening, and she began to sing a song of joy and jubilation for sure, of happiness and harmony, but tinged with underlying thoughts of love and longing. A bit later, in the late spring of the year, she discovered to her joy and amazement that there was a child growing inside her. She shared this astonishing news and joy with the old fisherman, and together they began to plan and prepare for the child that would soon join them in the small stone cottage. They made a funny little bed of big flat stones they collected from the tidal pools along the shore. They collected and dried seaweed and dune grass that grew nearby and filled the baby's stone bed with this soft bedding. They cut and stitched some of their own age-softened clothing and bedding to make fine little shirts, diapers, and quilts for the baby. All through the spring and summer, they talked about and collected and preserved fish, sea vegetables, and wild dune berries, so they would have plenty to share with the child when food was harder to find in the winter. The small stone cottage happened to sit just next door to a large ancient castle-like stone house with a high stone turret or tower at one side. Just on the other side of the high stone wall that separated the castle from the small stone cottage of the old fisherman and the equally elderly fisherwoman, grew a lush green garden full of fruit trees, berry bushes, and rows of bright and colorful vegetables. The big green leaves of romaine lettuce were particularly attractive. Every afternoon in the waning light, the elderly fisherwoman sat on the second-story stone porch, just big enough for two chairs, patted her growing midsection, and admired that romaine lettuce. As she admired the romaine, she talked to the old fisherman about it, how thick and succulent the leaves looked, how appealing the green color, glowing jewel-like in the setting sun. Each evening, the old fisherman tried to change the subject, mentioning the shellfish he'd caught and saved for her that very morning, or the tomatoes that grew in their own tiny garden patch. The elderly fisherwoman persisted in her obsession with that romaine lettuce just the other side of the neighbor's high stone wall. And after a week of this repetitive conversation, the old fisherman finally scaled the stone wall, cut a basket full of the bright green romaine leaves, and brought them home to her. She used them to make a delicious salad and promptly ate every bit of it. The next evening, she sat again on the tiny stone porch just big enough for two chairs, patted her growing midsection, and begged for more romaine. The old fisherman sighed deeply and went back over the high stone wall. But this time, as he was cutting the leaves, he heard an angry, low growl and turned to see his neighbor, a long, thin woman, taller by far than the high stone wall, wrapped in a deep purple cloak flung over a long black skirt with a hideous mask over her face. She was so frightening, ugly, and her voice so threatening. The old fisherman bolted for the wall before he could stop himself. He had heard the tales round the island that said she had the power of magic for good and for evil, and he had no desire to test her. The tall, thin mage woman with the hideous mask called him back. "I know. The romaine is for the woman and your soon-to-be child. You've already cut the romaine. Take it to the woman. It is too late to leave it behind. In return, when the time comes, I will take the child." The old fisherman, horrified at this bargain, protested, but the mage woman with the hideous mask waved her hand in dismissal and disappeared without a word. And so it came to pass, as the mage had said. The child was born, a beautiful girl with dark, deep, blue-black irises for eyes, the color of the night sea under long, black lashes, beautiful skin the color of rich, dark coffee, and hair curled in lustrous black ringlets with a glint of red and gold and maybe silver that her mother brushed with 100 strokes every morning so that it shone with health in the bright sun and waved like a dark, shining banner in the ocean breeze as she worked beside her parents in the small wooden fishing boat. Living at the edge of the village along the seashore, their acquaintances were few, yet most wonderful of all was the child's sweet and generous spirit, her inner beauty. The old fisherman and the equally elderly fisherwoman raised her with love and generosity, and the child grew healthy, happy, and full of affection for them and a kind and open spirit to human beings and every other life she encountered. She learned the skills and wisdom of the old fisherman and the elderly fisherwoman, to load the nets into the small wooden boat and put to sea, to guide the boat by sun and by star, to find the best places for netting the best and tastiest fish, just enough and not too many at any one time. She learned the secrets of wind and waves and their currents, to mend and repair the nets, the old wooden fishing boat, and even the small stone cottage and its thatched roof. She learned to transfer the day's catch from net to basket and to trade in the marketplace for what was needed at home. Inside the small stone cottage, she learned to cook a small fish, augmented by the products of garden and marketplace, to create a delicious and sustaining meal. From her kind and generous parents, she learned to understand and offer friendship to the people and animals around her, to give thanks to the sun, the sea, the wind, fish of the sea, animals of the earth, and all growing things that sustain us, including the light and dark in each. And so, for 7 years, life for the girl by the sea, so beautiful inside and out, was good. All this time, the mage woman with the hideous mask did not appear, though her garden was well tended and the castle in its tower stood tall and imposing on the other side of the high stone wall. The old fisherman and the equally elderly fisherwoman, content in their happiness, stayed clear of it all, convincing themselves that the incident of the stolen romaine and the claim of the mage woman with her hideous mask was a long-ago mistake, an aberration, perhaps a dream. On the girl's 7th birthday, they celebrated with a special meal of all the girl's favorite foods and gave her a gift, a necklace of tiny white shells strung and knotted on braided fisher twine, the kind used for repairing nets. That night, there was a terrible storm. The rain battered the small stone cottage with its thatched roof. The wind howled and screeched around the house. Suddenly, there was a loud and thunderous clap of lightning that woke the family. The old fisherman and the equally elderly fisherwoman saw a tall, thin figure wearing a hideous mask reach and lift their daughter from her bed. The old couple cried out in alarm and leapt from their bed, but the child looked into the eyes behind the mask and held on to the long purple cloak as the tall figure bent to pass through the door of the small stone cottage and disappeared into the storm without a sound. Her parents searched for her, of course, and alerted the constabulary, which sent officers to the far corners of the island to look for the child and her abductor. Everyone who had ever met the child also joined the hunt, but no sign of the two missing persons was found. Truth be told, the mage woman with the hideous mask used her magic to build a castle, a mirror image of the one she left behind, this time in a remote and distant sea cove on the other side of the island. And then she set her spells and protective enchantments to conceal the castle from prying eyes. And there she and the girl made a home. The child missed her parents, of course. She asked many questions and begged to return to the small stone cottage by the sea. The mage woman with her hideous mask had a different way of living and teaching than the fisher folk. She said little, ignoring most of the girl's questions, and setting her to work in the garden inside the high stone walls. But she added much to her education. She called the child Romaine and showed her how to care for the hundreds of plants there. She shared her knowledge of the plants used for cooking and sustenance. But the girl was clever as well as beautiful. She paid careful attention to every plant in the garden, especially the ones the mage said nothing about. And by carefully observing both the garden and the mage woman, she learned much about the other plants, the ones useful for healing and magic, and even a few things about the mage woman herself. And so for 7 years, life for the girl by the sea, so beautiful inside and out, was good. This is the Storytelling Hour on Enlighten Radio, www.enlightenradio.org. This is your storytelling host, Fanny Crawford, and we're talking about the creative process of storytelling, following up on a conversation last week with our co-host, Adam Booth. And that was part one of my adaptation of the ancient story of Rapunzel, or if you're looking at the Persian, really ancient, earliest version known, Rudaba. We're going to continue with that story in a few minutes, but I do want to tell you about some other storytelling going on in the real world. I did tell you about that the Speak Story series with Adam Booth starts again on April 18th. The venue has moved to Reynolds Hall across the street from the former venue at the community building. So April 18th, 7:30, come on over to Reynolds Hall to hear Antonio Holsha. And if you want to learn more about the new membership option in Season 5 this year, 2017, you can go to Adam Booth's new Speak Story website, www.speakstoryseries.com, and learn how to become a member. Otherwise, it's $12 at the door. But if you get your season-long pass, your season's ticket for $100, you also get invited to several special membership events with hobnobbing with these celebrities, these storytelling stars that Adam will be having. 9 of them all together. Also starting up April 24th is Stories in the Round in Hagerstown, Maryland. That's the series that I coordinate at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 13245 Searfoss Pike, just west of Hagerstown. You can contact me for $10 tickets in advance, or you can show up at the door for $12 on April 24th. You can contact me at Fanitsky, F-A-N-I-T-S-K-Y, at hotmail.com, or at 301-730-1638. And you'll hear more about the rest of the season as we get those sessions confirmed. That's 7 p.m., slightly different time than the Speak series. 7 p.m., April 24th, Eloise Schottler is returning after 3 years. She hasn't been with us for all that time. This is Season 4, and she'll be kicking off with Ready to Serve, her original story of the women from Johns Hopkins School of Nursing who were sent by General Pershing to the battlefields of World War I in France, where they helped rescue many, many, many American soldiers. Eloise is quite the researcher and historian as well as storyteller, and she's done an excellent job of pulling together what we know about those women. She's interviewed their family members. She's studied letters that those women sent home to the States, studied military documents. She's flown all over the country to see artifacts and uniforms and other memoirs or memories of those women. This is a story that should be told over and over. These women were pioneers for later women in the military, and certainly nurses and service women are still doing their part in this country. April 15th, I will be doing a house concert at the home of Larry and Marianne Hayes. And I did hear from Larry that I was giving out not the best phone number. I'm going to give you that phone number because I forgot to pull the better phone number. So you're going to get the worser number at the moment. But with some luck, I will figure out where that other number is. You can reach them via email at L-A-R-Y, Larry, and A-N-D, Marianne, M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, at gmail.com. Okay, I've misplaced both pieces of paper. Here it is. Or at 717-372-2243. And that's 8 o'clock on April 15th. I'll be telling grandma stories in the gigantic living room of Larry and Marianne Hayes. But you do want to get your tickets early because there is limited seating there. Okay, I'm going to continue with the story of Rapunzel in this version called Romaine, that Adam began this process with, talking about creativity and storytelling with his adapted version last week. So this is a whole new version, but this is part two of the story I started this afternoon. On her 14th birthday, the girl Romaine, now grown into a beautiful young woman, was led by the mage woman with the hideous mask to a room at the top of the castle tower containing only one window, the single door at the top of the tower stairs, and the one at the bottom that led outside to the seashore. The mage woman locked, barred, and sealed with an enchantment spell so that only she, the mage woman, could open either door. The tower room with its single window, looking so tiny from the outside, was spacious and airy on the inside. Most wonderful of all, the room was filled with treasure. There were books filled with mathematical notations and explanations, science books with color plates of plants, animals, and minerals, books with charts of the human body, charts of the tides, seas, and rivers, and charts of faraway lands, books with recipes for sumptuous meals and formulas for simple healing potions, books filled with tales of heroes and heroines, poetry from ancient days, and predictions for the future. There were cabinets of sheet music and the instruments to match, from stringed violins, lutes, and harps of all sizes, woodwind flutes and brass wind horns of all shapes and dimensions, drums, and even a small concert piano. One whole side of the room was a wall of drawers filled with the tools and supplies for every sort of visual crafting or three-dimensional artistic or creative expression. As Romaine looked deep into her eyes and studied her hidden face, the mage woman with the hideous mask explained that Romaine would continue to work in the garden every morning under the mage's supervision and protection, but the rest of her time, awake or asleep, while the mage woman was elsewhere with her travels and obligations, Romaine would remain in the tower, making efficient use of the resources there to further her apprenticeship and education. Romaine missed the former freedom of long days outside in the sun and wind, her walks along the seashore, and time observing the animals of earth and sea. There were benefits to life within the tower. Romaine was so fascinated by the books and musical instruments and other creative resources, not least by the view of the forest and seashore from the tower, that she rarely felt confined or restless there. And of course, she still had each morning to work out of doors in the garden. For 7 more years, life for the girl by the sea, so beautiful inside and out, was good. A week before Romaine's 21st birthday, just at nightfall, early one cool evening in early spring, as she sat at her single window high in the tower, she made a wish upon the first star of the evening, and then she began to sing. It was a song of joy and jubilation, for sure, of happiness and harmony, but tinged with the underlying thoughts of love and longing. And so it came to pass that a young man and his sister, both of them beautiful, like Romaine, both inside and out, were sailing their small sea craft close upon the shoreline of the remote sea cove where the mage woman had set her castle tower so many years ago. Who can say whether it was Romaine's wish upon the first evening star or the passing years that weakened the mage woman's magic protective enchantments meant to keep the castle hidden, or perhaps the inner beauty and generosity of the young man and his sister themselves that carried the sound of Romaine's musical voice to their ears. They had been looking for safe waters to put in for the night when they were distracted by Romaine's beautiful voice and melody and found themselves in trouble on the rocks along the shore. Their small craft was tossed about by the waves crashing against a tricky outcropping of rocks, and they were not fast enough in wheeling her about. There was a terrible sound of splitting wood and water rushed into the hull below deck. The boat capsized, throwing the young people into the sea. They struggled to shore, bruised and bleeding, but not mortally wounded. The moon, high and bright and full that night, had made the shoreline visible to Romaine in her high tower, so that she witnessed quite clearly the terrible crash and the casting of the crew of two into the sea. In the 7 years in her tower, Romaine had not been idle. One of her secret occupations, for a brief few minutes each night before bed, had been to design and craft a long and sturdy rope ladder made of fine yarns and fibers and threads from the tower supply cabinets, twined with strands of her own dark and shining curly hair that she saved from her brush every morning. She had never yet had cause to use the rope ladder, but she wasted no time in fastening the end to sturdy supply hooks on either side of the window and climbing quickly to the ground. When she reached the shoreline, she found the two injured young people, helped them to stand and move to a less exposed and warmer place to shelter for the night, giving them blankets and pillows she had made with her own hands. Since she had no way to get them into the tower in their current injured state, she explained that she was not at liberty to offer them more permanent shelter and they must stay hidden until it could be safely determined whether the real owner of this cove, Romaine's foster mother, would be friendly or not to them. Under the light of the full moon, Romaine used her considerable knowledge of tides and currents to maneuver what was left of the damaged sea craft to safety and secure it in a hidden and sheltered part of the beach. I need not provide all the details for you to imagine what happened next. After providing food and drink from the tower to the rescued travelers, Romaine returned to her tower room in the wee hours of the morning by way of her ingenious rope ladder construction, in time for a few hours of well-deserved sleep. She cared for her special guests till they were well enough to help her repair and make seaworthy the ship that first brought them to the remote sea cove and castle. As they worked together, all three came to appreciate the best in each other and the ways that their different strengths and interests complemented and supported their endeavors. Romaine was invited to travel with the brother and sister in their restored vessel to their home on a neighboring but distant island. Romaine accepted their invitation and on her 21st birthday asked the mage woman with the hideous mask for a special gift. She asked the mage woman to remove her hideous mask and share the story of how she came to wear it. The mage woman refused at first, but Romaine was a persuasive and loving confidant. And that evening, as they sat together in the tower, the mage told a story very similar to the story of Romaine's own life. She came from fisher folk, like Romaine, but unlike Romaine, was orphaned at a young age. And though her own fisher family had never been as loving and caring as Romaine's, She was rescued by a wise woman, a practitioner of the arts of darkness and light, who adopted her as an apprentice mage and raised her in those arts. That old woman had lived to be nearly 300 years old before succumbing to frailty and feebleness brought on by an over-reliance on magic and enchantments at the expense of healthy exercise and nutrition. Romaine's mage and foster mother was well into her second century, covering her face with a hideous, angry mask and using fear to accentuate her power over others before she recognized how lonely she was without companions and trusted friends. That understanding led her to adopt Romaine and educate her as her own daughter and successor. Some of this tale, as astonishing as it may be to you or to me, was not much of a shock to the discerning and observant Romaine, who had some inklings of the detail of her foster mother's story. And such was the power of Romaine's wise and loving nature that she convinced her mage mother to allow her to leave the tower. First, to accompany the two young people round the mage's island to find Romaine's parents, if, old as they must be, they could be found still alive. And then to travel to the island home of the young people on a kind of grand tour as her entry into the wide world and a way to complete her education. Now I will end my tale here, leaving the rest to your own fertile imagination, because I think you will agree that is an entirely different story. You've been listening to Fanny Crawford, the host of the Storytelling Hour on Enlighten Radio, sharing an adaptation of the Rapunzel story. You may know that Rapunzel started out as a Persian tale, maybe something like 7,000 years ago. The first version that's recorded of that story is a Persian story, but of course it traveled all over the world. And Adam Booth told a version of the traditional tale last week on the Storytelling Hour. And I told you a bit at the beginning of the show how I started researching the Rapunzel story and found myself caught up in the Persian version about Rudaba, the divine Rapunzel, who eventually gives birth to Rustam, the Persian epic hero, hero of many other Persian tales, but then got distracted by reading about the discovery of silkworms and silk weaving in China and thinking about how to put those two stories together. Because, in fact, what is today Iran, ancient Persia, was one of the first places that silkworms and silk weaving, spinning and weaving, traveled when it made its way out of China, probably 1,000 years after that craft and those skills were developed in China. Those are great stories, too. We're down to the last quarter hour of the Storytelling Hour on Enlightened Radio this morning. I wanted to repeat the information that the Speak Story series has a new website and a new membership option that you can research at www.speakstoryseries.com and contact Adam Booth that way if you're interested in talking to him directly. You can also call him at 304-886-9481 and learn how you can get tickets for the entire series. I guess I could read through who those storytellers are, all nine of them. I won't give you the details, but April 18th at Reynolds Hall, 7:30 p.m., Antonio Rocha, Brazilian-American, now living in Maine. May 9th, Chenga Zalka, from Hungary, also 7:30 at Reynolds Hall. June 13th, Charlotte Blake Alston from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 7:30 p.m. Different venue, Storer Ballroom, third floor of Shepherd University Student Center. And July 11th, Kevin Locke, Visionary Lakota and Anishinaabe hoop dancer, will be also at Storer Ballroom, 7:30 p.m. on the third floor of Shepherd University Student Center. Kevin's from South Dakota. I hear a howling coyote. I don't know if listeners can hear that too. August 8th, Jane Dorfman from Maryland, 7:30 at Reynolds Hall. And Jane Dorfman is famous for telling Arabian Nights, tales from the Arabian Nights, and she'll be telling some of the lesser known tales on August 8th. September 19th, Bill Harley, internationally known Bill Harley, storyteller, author, award-winning performer, will be sharing some of the stories that got him his Grammy Awards and made him so beloved to storytelling fans all over the country. That's 7:30 at Reynolds Hall. October 10th, Jan Blake will be appearing via Skype at 7:30 at Reynolds Hall. She's coming to us from England, well-known teller of African, Caribbean, and Arabian folk tales, some original stories, has been a TED teller, and has told stories many places around the world. She'll also do some spooky stories that month because it is October and we need to celebrate the scary month. November 14th, West Virginia's own poet laureate Mark Harshman will be coming to Reynolds Hall at 7:30 p.m. You may know him as a children's book author also, but he's known as a storyteller as well. And finally, Adam Booth will wrap up the season on December 12th. There's no location listed, so I'm assuming that's 7:30 at Reynolds Hall, but you have many months to get clear about that information, which you can do by going to www.speakstoryseries.com. That's a brand new website. It just went up, I think, last Wednesday. Tuesday evening or Wednesday, but you can see the full season 5 roster and learn how to become a member. Or if you want to try out a single session, you can do that too, but that $100 membership includes all 9 sessions plus some special events with the rock stars of the storytelling world that Adam is bringing in to the Speak Story Series this season. Stories in the Round begins on April 24th at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Hagerstown, 13245 Searfoss Pike, $10 in advance, $12 at the door, and you can get your tickets from me, Fanny Crawford, at 301-730-1638, 730-1638, 301-730-1638. Eloise Schottler will be kicking off the season that Monday night, and will be the fourth Monday of the month through December, and you'll hear more about the rest of the lineup, I hope, by next week. April 15th, you can hear me at a story concert hosted by Larry and Marianne Hayes, and you can reach them at 717-372-2243. That's a Saturday evening, $10 tickets. 717-372-2243. That's in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. So we're all over the region with these storytelling events this time. I think we're going to wind up the Enlighten Storytelling Hour today. Stay tuned next week. Not sure what we have on tap, but I'm sure it'll be interesting. At some point, we're going to get to open the phones and hope to hear from you listeners out there in Storyland. sharing your stories and your responses to the stories that you hear online at www.enlightenradio.org. In the meantime, this is Fanny Crawford closing out the noontime epic radio storytelling hour. Community Radio in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. The epic storytelling hour offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional tellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand our own stories. Thanks for listening. Tune in next Monday at 12 noon and stay with us for more Moby Dick in preparation for a Moby Dick scholar who will be on this station sometime in the near future. Thanks a lot. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.